This is CliffCentral.com.
A very good afternoon. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with Bongani Tau. And as per usual, the Youth Leadership Platform is brought to you by Leadership Platform and Student Brands. It's a sunny and lovely Monday afternoon in Joburg. I'm loving the weather. And to kind of build up on that, you know, it's Mandela Month. Basically, most of our content from now on will be centered around that. And we will be challenging the youth mostly to do a lot of things that would serve their societies. Join the conversation on the Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram. So it's been a fabulous weekend. I hope it has been for you as it has been for me. I've got a very, very lovely lady in studio. She's got that melanin vibe to her. She's been serenading a lot of you guys week in and week out with her smashing hits like Amazulu. If you had been tuning in to cliffcentral.com, you'd have heard her singing Ungiphethe Kahle Dali. And that is none other than the Miss Amanda Black.
What an intro. Hello, Bongani.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
How are you right? Are you right? Are you right?
I'm all right.
How's been the weekend?
The weekend, hectic.
Hectic?
Yes, which is a good thing in my life.
Okay.
Yes. So it was a great weekend.
Hectic in a good way or a bad
hectic
way?
Hectic in a good way.
In a good way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, man, a lot has happened between Idols and now. The interesting thing is, a lot of the guys that make it all the way, and some of them that win the actual competition, mm-hmm. you hardly hear about them thereafter. But your story is unique. You went top 8, top 7, and unfortunately, because it was a competition, that was the end of the road for you. Now, take me back to, and the listeners, of course, to where this passion for singing started before it gets to the road where you take on Idols.
Oh, hello to everybody listening. Oh, man. I've always loved music. I actually can't even pinpoint it where I actually didn't love music.
Uh-huh.
Growing up as a kid, even my family can attest to that since I was little, I had been singing, you know, loving music just because I loved it. Obviously, when you're young, there's no other reason why you would do something except the fact that you love it.
That you love it, yes.
So I had dreams as a little girl. I had dreams, man. I dreamt of being on the biggest stages. I dreamt of being a famous musician. You know, that was a dream, right?
Yeah.
And then growing up, it became stronger and stronger because I had, like, you know, people that I looked up to, you know, Whitney Houston. I'm like, yo, that voice. I want to be a voice like that in
just
my
the
time.
Force.
Just the man, yeah. You know, the kind of influence even that you have. Music is very influential.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Very true.
And once, obviously, I grew up and had a brain, you know, and actually started growing into myself as a human being,
mm-hmm.
that's when I actually knew what I wanted to do with my music. I said, I want to make music to heal people. I want to, because I saw how, you know, my family would react when I'd sing.
Yes.
I never used to understand. They would cry. I'm like,
why are you crying?
Did I sing bad?
Oh, am I that bad?
Am I that bad that you're crying? You know, so cool. It's when I actually started realizing, you know, there's something special. I don't know what it is, but even when I sing, the way it makes me feel,
mm-hmm.
and also the way music makes me feel, I said, I want to make people feel this way.
Wow.
And that's when I made the decision to do music. I started performing at school, talent shows. I was, funny enough, I wasn't a shy child,
mm-hmm.
but when it came to singing, like right in the beginning stages, I was extremely shy. I used to sing with my eyes closed. Like, people thought I was like feeling it. I was feeling it, but I was scared.
You don't want to see the reaction as it happens.
I don't want to see people because they're so intimidating because everybody's just sitting there like this. And I used to complain to my mom, Mommy, when I sing, they just keep quiet and they just look at me. Am I doing bad? And she's like, no, I'm the norm. It's because they're listening.
Yes.
You know? So my love for music. And then I decided, yo, the career. That's when I actually made a decision in high school. I was like, this is the route that I'm taking. And the rest is pretty much where we are now, that the journey has unfolded so much. I'm only 23.
Yes.
And my breakthrough, you know, God planned it. It was like, yeah, it's going to be now. Because now I had like imagined, because you watch the movies,
yes.
you know, you hear the stories and you're like, yo, it's going to take me years. Ne? Okay, no. And then I only moved to Johannesburg last year.
Yes.
And before that, I was studying, you know, for 3 years. I have a diploma in music.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, mommy, family, everybody, I'm gonna do this music thing. We're gonna have to struggle for a couple of years, and but we were ready for it.
Yeah.
But then went to Idols, you know, and then very next year, I had, you know, I had dreams and hopes when I moved to Johannesburg. I just didn't know it would happen so quickly.
So now a lot of people settle for security. You know, they want to move out of high school, probably study and work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you're thinking about getting into the music industry at high school level. Why did so it didn't ever occur to you that it's very tough to break into this industry? When am I going to make my money? How am I going to sustain myself? Excuse me. And you know, those type of questions that everybody asks themselves these days.
I've never been a person of a plan B. Okay. I'm not saying people should not have a plan B, but for me, I was not that person. I still am not. I make a decision because once, for me, this is personal. Once I let, I leave space for, you know, failure, there will be failure.
Yes.
And you do get disappointed.
Yes.
But if you, your mindset is success. Along the way, obviously, you could try to leave space for disappointment, but not too much space, man. Don't leave too much space for disappointment. Because that also puts a, you know, pressure on you, and you're like, ah, no, maybe I might make it. I might not make it. So what I had to do was, Amanda, you're going to make it. You're going to make sure you're going to make it. Mm. Whatever you do, you're going to, it's going to be. So practice. The preparation is everything.
Mm.
So mommy said, go to school. So I was like, okay, I'll go to school, but I'm going to study music.
Yes.
You know, she gave me the choice, you know. She was like, I don't know about this music thing, but for me, I need you to go study and get something, a plan B. And I was like, yo, but mommy, me, I don't care. Okay, I was very, you know, out there, you know, child. I was like, but mommy, me, I don't care about a plan B. I just want to sing.
Yeah.
She was like, no, get it. Go get that for me. So I went to school. Only I didn't realize that I would learn so much, which I did. For me, I had to, there were doubts, man.
Yes.
There were people, you know, they were like, no, Amanda, what makes you think you're going to make it? But for me, it's the love and the reason for why I want to do music. I want to change lives on a global scale. You know, I've always seen it. I've had visions. I've had dreams. I've had, you know, like whenever I was on stage, I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. So, yeah, plan B.
Was not going to work. You're never going to sacrifice your passion for security, which is a very,
it's a choice. I always say that life is determined by choices. Whichever way your life is going to go is determined by your choices.
Yes.
So even if I did fail, it was going to be my choice that I made sure that I'm going to do this and I don't have a plan B. I can go teach. I do technically have a plan B, but my mindset is never that, because I don't leave space for me to not. I can't do 98% because I'm thinking of a plan B.
Mm.
So I put 100% into music. Everything of mine is in music. If music fails, basically, you know, because it's then my entire life.
Yeah.
So I make sure, you know, and that's not, you can't control outside things, but you can control how you think.
Hmm.
You can control what you do with the money that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You can control what you do with the money you don't have.
Mm.
You can control what you do with your talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I practice, I rehearse, I make sure that my craft every time, every month, every week, every year, it's something better. It's something different for myself. So whichever craft that you're doing, whichever, you know, area of specialty you are in, make sure you don't go to a comfort. You don't get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get comfortable. And that's, I guess, the mindset that I have for my life, and that I'll make sure that music works for me because God gave me this gift for something.
Yeah.
So I make sure that it works for me as well, and that it works for the specific reason that I kind of imagine that God wanted, which obviously I can't imagine God not wanting me to heal people. So for me, I'm like, if I keep that in my mind and I'm like, Ebona, I need to do this. And whenever I feel like giving up, which, I mean, I do have those moments. Sometimes
moments,
it's like, hey, do I wake up today? I don't feel like waking
up today. I want us to talk about that, but I'll let you finish.
Yeah, because, yeah, you must kind of like give me like a heads up, because I can talk forever. I can talk forever because I explain so much. I kind of want to give you a whole picture, you know, of what I'm trying to explain. So definitely, man, passion and work. Passion doesn't go without hard work.
Mm.
So for me, it's that constant thing. Push yourself to the limit. When you get to the limit, push for another limit.
Mm. Now, looking at judges like Randall, Unati, and Somizi, a lot of people get it wrong. And it becomes a public spectacle. Like, everyone knows when you've messed up.
Yeah.
So that's a common underlying thread in the fear that overcomes a lot of people in wanting to go and audition. So how did you gather the strength and be like, you know what, I'm doing Idols now.
Mm.
I'm going for the competition.
2015 was the third time I entered Idols.
Wow.
So I entered like when I was still a baby. 16 was the age that you can enter.
Okay.
So for all these years I've been watching Idols, I was like, mommy, when I'm 16, I'm going to audition. Right? So 16 years old, I was like, we're going. We went. I didn't make it. I was like, mommy was like, no, you're too young, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you just weren't ready, you know. You need to grow more. And I was like, okay. Obviously, I was young. My mind was still like, ouch, you know,
mm-hmm.
and my heart. Second time was when I was 20, which was in 2013. I was still studying my second year. And I auditioned by chance because my friends were there and I had FOMO and I went to audition. And then the third time around now, I just graduated from varsity 2015. And that's when I was like, I need to start my career. This is the time now. I finished studying. I did the plan B my mom wanted me to do. But now I want to go for the career. I want to go for the dream.
Mm.
Right? 2015. And then I went booked a bus to Durban. The last two auditions was mm-hmm. in Durban and Cape Town. And I was like, I'm going to Durban. And I went to audition. The main reason for me auditioning this time was not just for the Idols. You know, it was because I knew that it would be a platform if I made it further now.
Launchpad.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to go and I really, really hope I get to the stage where people can actually see me. So that's why I went for the third time. And a lot of people are like, well, why didn't you give up? Because I love music and because I've that it was part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a chance on Idols again and I made it to the top seven. Mm. And unfortunately, I didn't win. But I got a chance to say hello, South Africa.
The and very South next Africa year,
I was
notice.
Like, hey, welcome back, Amanda. How's it going? So, yeah.
Post Idols, you did a couple of things, right? What are some of the stumbling blocks that you faced along the way to that AmaZulu breakthrough?
Yeah, man, you know, when you come to the big city, you're like, ooh, you know, the big thing.
Everything
big
is hunky dory.
No, everything is not hunky dory. You know, in a nutshell, I'd say, you know, knocked on a couple of doors that never opened.
Okay.
Or, you know, they were harsh. You know, sometimes they don't open. Sometimes they open and they're really harsh. Like, no. Like a very strong no, you know. And then rejection is all part of the game, I guess. And, I mean, self-doubt. A lot of emotional baggage and a lot of emotional things happen to you as a person when you're trying to do something and you just can't get it right.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But... It was like 5 months in. Then I got AmaZulu.
Hmm.
5 months in, I thought like, it was going to be years, you know. I thought, like, and I was ready to go step, like small steps. How small steps? I started doing, you know, restaurant gigs, but I had been doing them before as
before
well.
Before that, yes.
You know, so I was hoping, you know, the Idols hype was still going to push me, trying to get those gigs, trying to call people, hey, I was on Idols. Some people didn't really care. that's great, girl. But, you know, what yeah. do you have? And at that point, I was still doing covers. So that's how I was actually making, you know, a buck here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were quite a few. But definitely, I'd have to pinpoint rejection and a lot of that. A lot of emotional things. Self, you know, sometimes you doubt yourself. You're like, ish, but did I make the right choice? Did I move all this way?
Am I right? Yeah.
And I call my mom, mommy, am I right? Tell mm-hmm. me I'm right. I'm right, ne?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, you're right. If your spirit said you're right, you're there now.
Yeah.
So you can't go back.
You gotta make it happen.
You gotta make it happen. And I'm like, sure, mommy. Wake up tomorrow. I push again. I push until AmaZulu dropped on 1st of July and I got signed in May.
May the following year, that is.
May the following year.
Okay. So recording AmaZulu this entire time.
Yes.
And then you dropped it
in July
individually,
fact,
right?
This month, yes.
And the month of your birthday.
In the month of my birthday.
Yes. So now dropping the song, because a lot of artists like have got amazing songs,
yeah.
and they haven't just gotten to the limelight.
Yeah.
Like who saw your music? Who heard your music? Who saw Amanda Black and was like, let's give her a chance. Let's book her for this. Let's have her come and perform here and bless a lot of people.
There was one thing that happened to me. I was approached by Ambitious Entertainment, you know, the record label.
Okay.
I was approached by them in early May and I signed with them end of May, beginning June. You know? And from then, after that, we got into studio. AmaZulu was made within those after me signing.
Okay.
Actually, yes. And AmaZulu was made the first night I was in studio with my team, the new team, you know, the producers I was with. And I freestyled Amazon.
Okay.
And what was happening through my mind, I think it was a lot of things that have been happening way before. You know, I spoke about my past. I spoke about what had happened in the 5 months, you know, what had happened when I decided on the bus ride to Joburg. What was I thinking? A lot, you know, I spoke about a lot. I speak about my life as a whole. Mm-hmm. In AmaZulu, I talk about how I felt when I made AmaZulu. I talk about how I felt when I decided for music. I talk about my heartbreak. Ish. Like that song, Jay, if you listen closely, you find that it's a lot. Like you need to break it down, which I think is what I did in the rest of the album, where I kind of broke it down piece by piece, you know, what I was talking about in AmaZulu. But people respond to AmaZulu so much because it's such a spiritual song, even mm-hmm. for me. I say, I can't explain what was happening the night that I did AmaZulu. I can't. I was emotional. I was crying. You know, I was crying. And words just came out of my mouth. You know, words just came out of my mouth. And I was just talking about my life in general. And which is what, I guess, is what's special about my music, is that I talk about things that I know.
Very relatable. It's like, a lot of people are waiting for AmaZulu to open. Yeah. They're waiting for those blessings as well to come into their lives.
Yeah.
With a lot of things that they're trying to do that it's just not working out.
Now
I'm sitting here wondering what the freestyle might have sounded like.
What it sounded like?
Yes, in the studio.
Do you want me to give you a little bit of a snippet?
Sure, why not?
So this is the original version. I know it because I kept it.
Okay.
So I listen to it sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me see if I remember quickly. Drifting, I'm drifting away into the darkness. Nzothathum twalum bekem kolum tana. Ubomi bunzima. Just lift my head up high. Open my eyes and I will fly. Oh, open up, open up. I'm feeling closer now. Yeah. it's similar, but it's so different in the way the freestyle went. Kind of, obviously, the way I write, sometimes I freestyle and I sit down and I'm like, okay, what's going to work? I need to break it down. I need to kind of make it. But the first verse was tweaked, but it's very much similar to the way the freestyle went.
So do you attend like vocal coaching and all those different things to enhance that? So that's all natural?
Pretty much.
How many hours do you put into practicing and refining your craft?
Well, since I've been busy now, since, you know, the breakthrough, can't really find time to actually say, okay, I'm training now. I'm training. Because the time that I get is when I'm actually doing rehearsals for shows, you know, because I'm doing, you know, shows like 3 times a week, you know. So, and then in between, I've got PR, which is I'm here now, you know.
Yes.
Can't be really like, you know, practicing while I'm talking to you.
Yes.
So, I kind of try and find time and I don't officialize it. So, I listen to a lot of music.
Okay.
And most of the time, I stand in front of the mirror and I just sing. Sometimes when I'm trying to, I remember when I'm trying to expand my range, you know, sing higher than I do or sing lower than I do, I sing like really like incredibly hard songs for me. And I'm like, and then my voice goes away.
What's a hard song for you?
Up until, you know, recently, I couldn't sing I Have Nothing by Whitney. So I take like really, really big vocals, you know, Jennifer Hudson's, you know, I take them and then I listen to them and I'm like, I can't sing it, but I'm going to do that note. Then I do it over and over and over again. And I can hear my voice straining and I can hear it and I can hear it. And the more I do it, the more, and I guess it's kind of a life lesson for me as well, because it's training for my mind.
Yes.
That my aunt always used to say, well, now we are doing it. Like, stop thinking to yourself that you can't do it.
Yes.
You can do it. So the mindset, it evolves when you do that. You keep pushing and you keep pushing until I can actually hit that note. And that's how I kind of implement that in my life as well, in everyday life. I'm like, I can't do this right now. And like, my mom hates it. I'm a DIY person. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why did you have to call? But she asked me, but do you know how to do it? I'm like, I'll learn how to do it. So I take something and I break it apart. And if something breaks, I'm like, how does it get back together?
Yeah.
Mommy's like, no, it's fine. We can get somebody. I'm like, no, I can figure it out, and I figure it out, and I do it, and I do it until I actually get it right. Even if it's a little lopsided, it's going to be the same until I get it right. And that's how I guess I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
I like to break things as well, but I like to fix them too. So that's how I think. Giving up is not an option. And a lot of people need to realize that things don't come easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think that this came easy for me.
Yes.
They're like, overnight success.
Seemingly so.
Not,
you know?
Overnight success.
Seemingly so.
Years of training. One, I went to school. I studied music. I was training my voice. I was training my guitar skills. I was training everything. I needed to understand how music works. And that's how my life went. Some people didn't go to school. And some people learned other ways. You know, they practice in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I learned how to sing, you know, how to sing in a different way, how to do this. I did opera singing.
Mm.
You know, so for people, whenever they say, overnight, did you know, guys, I worked a lot. Even before I went to school, I had... You know, I was teaching myself how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching myself how to sing particular songs, you know. So hard work doesn't come in the way that people expect it to come. You know, they're like, how, you didn't sleep in the streets? No, I didn't sleep in the street because I was very fortunate,
mm-hmm,
that I came to Johannesburg and five months later, you know, God made it like, Gabona, this is the time for you. There are a lot of hardships in between as well. Once you are in it, doesn't mean that it's not hard anymore.
Yes.
We're still hustling throughout. You know, you find artists, they fall, they rise, because it's a constant struggle. It's constant fighting. And sometimes the struggles come in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you expect. There's a lot that I've learned since I've been in the industry. You know, and I've only been here for a year. You want me to name them? I'm not going to name them. <I'm joking.
laughs> No, actually, the question that I wanted to ask that I was very interested in. There was a lot of coverage on your stable.
Yeah.
And a lot of people obviously had things to say, you know, it was from their side voicing out what they felt like. So now there was an outgoing group and you were going in.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
there's a lot of chaos in the media.
Yeah.
That's going around. And there's people moving out and you moving in. Why?
I was already in.
Okay, at the particular point in time.
I had been in this events. Are we not going to name it? The events happened.
We can.
The events.
It's on radio, so just go ahead.
So the artist left, and I was already in. My album was out already, mm-hmm, and everything. Things are never perfect, man.
Okay.
You know, people make decisions. Like I said, you make a decision. I made a decision to stay. People make decisions to leave. And you respect them for those decisions. Nothing is perfect. Like I said, nothing is perfect. I see you. You're thinking.
Were you not affected?
I was not affected. People were saying things about me in the media. I was there. Twitter was going crazy. Yeah, I'm on the black. They're saying this. And then, you know, and mm-hmm, you kind of have to disconnect yourself. Because one, I'm not a social media person, so I won't be there. You know, no, but guys, you can't say this.
Yes.
And blah, 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 blah. But you can never know what's happening. Like I said, not... Everybody's not perfect. Stables are not perfect. Contracts are not perfect.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the black and white of the industry. And whether you, if you're in, you won't see what's happening on the, if you're outside, you won't see what's happening on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, we hear. And obviously people are like, Amanda, you were ambitious. And now I'm painted with the same brush.
Yes.
Like, what's happening with you? I'm here to make music.
That's all. That's all you're interested
in.
That's
all I'm interested in. And whether what's happening in the stables, that's for me to deal with. Unfortunately. So for me, I'm not gonna be here and say, this is what is happening in Ambitious, and you guys must know and do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much, I'm here for the music. Which is why even the interviews that I did, I was just like, guys, that's happening. Anyway, my album is out.
I really
hope you go get it, because I love making music and I really want you guys to buy it and admire my music. And then that's the upside.
Mm.
That is definitely the upside.
So you're happy. Amanda Black is happy at Ambitious Entertainment. Yes?
I'm making music.
Wow.
I'm happy. So you're happy, man. My life has gone from people knowing me as a girl from Idols,
mm-hmm,
to Amanda Black.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been nominated. I was nominated for the BETs just now. And now I'm nominated for the Nigerian Awards.
Wow.
So 50-50. Everything is not black and white. Okay. So for me, I'm pushing the music, man. And that's what we do.
So now Amanda Black is sitting at home, probably down in art. There's a couple of things that are not as exciting about life at that particular point in time. And she feels like, why am I even doing this? Why? What's your why then at that point in time? What do you read? What do you do to get yourself back up and functioning at your optimum level?
In addition to praying, because I'm a very spiritual person.
Okay.
It's my family. I call every day. Like, if a day goes without me speaking to my mom, you know, it kind of goes a little bit. I'm like, hi. I haven't spoken to you in months, you know.
Yes.
My family is a great foundation for me. It's what brings me down to earth. It's what brings me, you know, joy. It's what kind of beats sense into me. Because sometimes you're like, I am tired. Oh, no. But then they're like, no, but you remember why you're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to build the future for myself and my family. And that's why I'm doing music. I'm here to inspire people. And so you see now, it's for me, it's for my family, it's for everybody else who receives the music. And it's for the reason why the music is done. And that's to change people's lives, and that's to heal people, and that's to change my life and my family's life. So whenever I feel that, like, sometimes I feel like the world's on my shoulders, because I feel like, why do I feel like I need to do this? But my family always is there for me and reminds me, this is why you're doing it. And sometimes now I may have to sit down and be like, you can't give up. There's no way you can give up, you know. And after what I saw, you know, what happened with the album, there's no way I can give up. I've had people come to me and tell me how much, you know, my music has changed their lives. And I'm like, but they're songs. But then I also remember, because I'm a music lover.
Yes.
And I remember
and
how
you know
music,
the value of
how
music in your life as well.
You know, so I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I can ever quit music. Okay, not ever, but I don't see myself quitting music in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. I'm looking to be a long-lasting music maker in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I do music, man. And that's what keeps me grounded, my family.
Now, fast forward, you get nominations to the Summers. There's about 3 nominations. Where are you when you get the information that you've been nominated 3 times?
5 times.
Well,
I was at home.
3, yeah.
Yeah, I won 3.
Yes.
And your Summers, dude. Like, I was at home. Wait, the Summers. I was there. Sorry, the MMAs, I was at home.
Yes.
So now the Summers, I was here. Oh my goodness. So much is going through my head. I was there. I was sitting in the front and they're nominees for. Every time I heard my name, I was like, yes. Because now you can't scream because there's like a lot of people around you.
Around you,
yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man, calm down.
So,
relax.
So you're like, okay, let me mize and,
yeah, and yo,
hold
dude,
yourself. Hold
I
yourself.
Was so overwhelmed. I was incredibly overwhelmed for my first album and so much success. And I was like, what's going on? You know, like, it was just coming, blessings. I'm like, I wanna God, you know, sleepless nights, everything. It's all worth it. At that moment when, even worse, when I'm going to accept the award, it's like, I don't want to cry right now. But this is for all the sleepless nights and all the, you know, the times when I doubted myself. But I can't say that now.
Yeah,
they
because,
only give you like
5 seconds. Yes.
So you have to thank everybody
well,
who,
a lot of people
who actually made this happen.
That, but
so like in my mind, I'm thinking of all the things that I have to say. It's for yo, dude, like I can't even explain how I feel even now looking at my life and looking at and how much God has blessed me and how much, you know, the hard work has paid off and the kind of love I've received from South Africa.
Avulekile
Mazulu. Very unprecedented. I was like, what's happening? Avulekile Mazulu.
Yes.
And I always say that song is very prophetic, and I did not know why I made that song when I made it. And every day now I realize why.
You know, that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw you walking up to the stage. Once, twice, thrice. I'm like, Avuleka Mazulu. There goes Amanda Black. You've cemented your name and you're in. Mm-hmm. Now the problem that a lot of artists face, and you know, in your genre of music, there's quite a lot of soulful and powerful ladies that have come into the industry, but of late we haven't heard from them. Do you ever think about times like those, and what do you have in mind or in place to avoid disappearing and just riding this wave?
Honestly,
because this is a very powerful wave.
Honestly, I do not know. The only thing that I can do, like, The disappointing part about being in the industry, I haven't met a lot of the women that I've looked up to.
Okay.
I haven't met them.
Which are?
I've met Sistan Samazwai. There's those long. There's people that have been in the industry for years, and you're like, how did you do it? But I haven't had the chance, the pleasure of actually having a conversation with them. And I think just to put it out there to everybody, you know, who's in the industry, who's been in the industry for years, you know, us newbies, we kind of need, you know, you need people that know what the hell, you know, what's happening to actually advise. But unfortunately, there's so much competition in the industry that it's kind of hard to actually get to that point where, now for me, my wish is that 10 years from now that people are coming in, I'm there. You know, I'm there, like you said. What am I planning? I don't know anything more than just making good music.
Yes.
I don't know how else, what more needs to be done, you know. The only thing I can do is go into studio, record, and have people push my music, and that's it.
Hmm.
Pretty much, like, I can't put some special spice. The only thing, the special spice is the music.
Yes,
so
yes.
You kind of just hope and pray, and then work harder, obviously, on having your music broader and broader, you know, and get to more people than it did the previous year or the previous album. And that's pretty much all you can hope for.
If you just joined the conversation, it's Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, and it's YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram. We're talking to Amanda Black as we speak, and we've got another interesting guest that just joined us in studio, and I'm gonna go right ahead and intro it. You know, I have to be biased. He was one of my favorites. I've been rooting for him. He saw my tweets. He probably didn't know those tweets were from me, but I've been tweeting that, oh yeah, that he's the sign of the times. I remember him performing that song, and I was like, yo, Craig Lucas, he gives you that sign of the time kind of feel that you're in the top eight right now. So it was a very fantastic weekend. Yesterday, we got the chance to attend the Voice SA finals, and it was very electrifying. The environment, the crowd, the talent on the stage was magnificent. Like, people were just pouring their hearts and they were leaving them on stage. And one such person that wowed the judges with his audition and took it all the way to the finals and won the entire thing, season 2 of The Voice SA, joining us today in studio is Craig Lucas.
Hey guys.
Welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Where did The Voice go?
Oh, lack of sleep.
Yeah?
Lack of sleep, yeah.
It must be a very busy morning for you, running around, doing interviews here, being asked to do this there, and a lot of that. How you feeling, man? How you feeling?
I feel great, dude. Like, I literally never expected last night to turn out the way it did. So it's a little overwhelming. I haven't really had time to just sit and soak it all up, but it's been absolutely incredible.
Got a new ride. Did you drive in your?
I just parked it yesterday, and I left it at the church where the show takes place.
Okay. So that's where you left it, yeah. and then traveled with somebody to come to the studios. Are you getting calls from family members everywhere, like congratulations and all of that just coming your way after last night's spectacle?
Yeah, we've got a family group, and like, I woke up to 545, whoa, literally 545 messages this morning.
Yes.
They've been calling all morning. It's been great. They sent me a video of like my entire community just gathering in front of my house when my mom, wow, came home this morning. So it's been amazing, dude.
it must be very, very, very surreal. Take us back, man. You're originally from Cape Town, right?
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in Cape Town?
It's been amazing.
And particularly where you grew up.
Yeah. So I grew up in Elsie's River in Cape Town.
Uh-huh.
Like, my entire family lives there. My grandma lives over the road, and my other grandma lives in the next road. My brother lives down the street. My aunt lives in the back. Like,
what?
I'm not even lying. My entire family lives within like 4 roads of each other.
Yeah.
So it's been great just growing up amongst family. My mom is also one of 13 kids, and my dad one of 9. My family's huge.
Yeesh.
Okay. And that's what it's been growing up. We've just never, my family, my cousins were my friends. So that's family's all I've known, and that's what it was like growing up. So it's been incredible.
Wow. And then your passion and love for music, where is that coming from? Where does that factor in to everything that you were doing at that particular point in time?
Yeah. Like, funny enough, I'd suffered from really, really bad performance anxiety.
Okay.
For a number of years, and I'd never thought that I'd be able to sing. And I'd basically resigned to being a songwriter. I'd write songs for other people and get them to sing my music.
Hmm.
And when The Voice came to South Africa, I'd been following the show for a long time. Like, it's not like other singing contests. Like, there's a, it's, it just feels different.
Okay.
And I said I'd go, and I chickened out in season one. And when season two came, my friends basically threatened me, like, if you don't go to this thing now, like, we're not going to speak to you. And I wasn't going to go. I was on my way to work, drove past, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in here. If I don't make it,
that's fine.
And I didn't expect to make it, but just to get them off my case, I'm like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be like, I told you I wasn't going to make it. And that's what it's been like every round. I'm like, I'm not going to make it to the next round, and I made it. And I kept making it, and then last night happened.
Jeez. So you did a degree before getting into that.
Yeah.
So it was never in your plans to pursue music as for music.
Yeah, I'd really always wanted to, but I didn't think that I'd be physically able to get on a stage and sing, because I was mortified. Like, I'm not even lying. I'd shake. I entered a school talent show once, and I just stood there shaking, covered in sweat. You could see the, like, sweat under my arms. And they made fun of me for so long because I had the mic up there. So it wasn't in my plans, no. I didn't think, as much as I wanted to, I didn't think I'd be able to.
What was in your plans and your dreams at the particular point in time before this unprecedented event occurrence happened to you?
So my mom, she hadn't been supportive of music.
Okay.
Before, and she was all about getting a stable job and finishing school. And I sort of bought into that whole thing about music not being stable enough. And so I went to school, got my degree. And within about 2 weeks after I graduated, that's when I then entered The Voice. Because I said, look, Mom, I held up my end of the bargain. There's your degree. I can always fall back on it if I need to, but I just, like, I had to take the chance now.
And pursue music, yeah. And see where the road leads. Hmm. Very, very, very interesting. So now, having done all of that, you come to The Voice, you audition, Chairs Turn. Why did you choose Khan?
I'd went in there wanting Khan to turn.
Okay.
So he turned within a couple of seconds. And the reason is, Khan is not, I think with these shows, people always go for the guy who sings the highest or sings the loudest, but Khan is all about tone and soul and putting emotion into what you do. And mm-hmm. that's the way he sings. And he turned within, like, the first few seconds of the song where I was singing really low. And that's what it's about. I'm not going to record an album of me belting songs on each track, you know. I want people to relate to what I'm singing and feel what I'm singing, and that's the type of artist he is, and that's the type of artist I want to become.
Mm. And Khan is such a legend in the South African music scene. I mean, with the Polytones, they've done a lot.
Yeah.
What it was like working with such a man with that experience and, you know, the achievements that he has under his belt?
Yeah, it's been great. Khan doesn't mince his words. He's just completely open from the get-go, and he can be quite hard on us at times, but I think that's probably the most valuable thing that the show has given us, because you don't get opportunities like that often, and he's just given us so much advice, even just apart from the music industry, just to sort of stick to our guns, stick to knowing what we want to do and not letting other people influence us, because there's so many influences coming from so many different directions, and it can get quite confusing at times.
Hmm.
So it's been invaluable.
Getting to the top 10 and you know, the shortlistings and things, were there moments where you're like, probably this is the end of the road for me, or I don't know, maybe I might make it to the next round, I don't know?
Every week I'm like, my bags are packed,
yeah,
going home. But then I had one performance 1 week, and that was the one I felt the most passionate about. I sang Purple Rain. And, like, the response I got
Rain,
was
yeah, phenomenal, that performance.
And I think from that week on, I just started believing that, like, I think maybe I do deserve to actually be here. My mindset just sort of did a 360.
And then you made it to the top 7.
Yep.
And then the pressure built up. It was even tougher and harder. What was going through your mind at that particular point in time? You've made it that far in the competition, and there's a high possibility that you might actually go all the way and win the whole thing. What's going through your head at this point in time?
Dude, I was just so happy to be in the finals. Like, a big part of it was, as well, I'm like, I just don't want to be eliminated the week before the finals and miss the after party. Like, I didn't make it this far to not make it to the after party.
Which is very nice, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Everything was free, man. And we just had a lot to eat, a lot to drink. Like, everything was just on point. Sorry to catch you.
Yes, I was just so amped to be in the finals. I think everybody with these shows, the finals is where you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, you've made it whether you win the show or not. And you get to perform three songs as well. And so I got to show so many different sort of things with my different performances. So I was just really excited to be there.
Who was mostly behind the influencing force in your song choice? Because it seemed like with a lot of songs that you chose, they kind of represented your voice, you know, and your range very well, and which is a very important thing in a competition. You want to give your best with every performance that you do. So who was the influencing force behind your song choices?
Yep. So how it works is we usually pick our songs and then we go to our coaches and they just advise us on what to sing and what not to sing. And coming into the show, like, I had a selfish mentality. I wanted to sing what I like.
Okay.
And like, I think that's shooting yourself in the foot. So Khan has also been quite instrumental in making me understand that it's not just about what I like. There are ways to take things that I might not necessarily be comfortable with and sort of make it my own. And that's been the thing with all the classic songs he's given me, like Lady in Red last night.
Yes.
When he suggested it, I was like, there's no way I'd sing the song. And then we did the stripped down version of it, and it was the best thing I've ever heard. And that's my favorite performance of the season. So we'd sort of just go to them and get advice on just an all-round understanding of what we think people would appreciate the most or what would touch the most people.
What were some of your biggest highlights in overall, like the whole competition, from when you auditioned to all the skits and the outings that you guys were going to do?
I think one thing is I'd never been outside of Cape Town before The Voice, ever.
Okay.
So flying up to Joburg was my first time here. I got to meet some, like, the contestants are amazing. I've got friends now that live in Durban and live all over South Africa that I'm so keen to go visit. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the good things. And then also shopping, dude. We get to keep all the clothes we wear. So every Monday morning we walk into Truworths, like, unlimited budget.
What?
It's like, stop picking things off the racks. I don't know, I'm going to get all that clothes home, but...
Oh, you're more than welcome to leave some. You're more than welcome to leave some. Just putting it out there. Yeah. So yeah, your highlights, your biggest highlights in the competition.
Yeah. And then I think just every week pushing myself. I've always been so sheltered and so afraid to try new things, and the shows just pushed me out of my comfort zone. I now am at a point where I look forward to being on stage, and that's something I literally never thought I'd be able to do because I was so terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best thing that the show has done for me.
Boosted your confidence. Yeah. Amongst a lot of things. What can we expect from you now? Like, what's the next big thing?
Music. I am a songwriter first and foremost.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do even before singing. So I'm so keen to just get as much music out. Like, I've not had the resources to take the music from my head and make it into something like physical. And that's, I've got access to those things now, so I'm so keen to just start making music.
You got a lot of cash. What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Like, anything that I'd want to buy with the cash, I've also got. They gave us phones and a car and like 100,000 rands worth of Truworths things. So yeah. Everything I wanted to buy with the money, I've now also got. I think I'm just going to go on vacation. I'm taking my mom and just like...
Oh, man.
Go for a week. Go to the bush or something. No Wi-Fi's, no nothing.
Well, with your range and your soulfulness with... I picked it up from some of the songs that you did. I'm hoping that I'm going to put you guys on the spot right now. We've got Amanda Black and Craig Lucas, the winner of season 2 of The Voice SA. And so I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I'm going to love to have a cover from you guys and a song from you guys, like a feature. So I'm putting you on the spot and I'm challenging you. And I want you guys to respond to me right now.
I'm
right about this moment.
I'm down.
You're down.
Music, man.
Music?
Let's do it.
Music is music. All right. Music, Amanda music. Black and Craig Lucas. When you hear that smash hit.
We have promised.
That they're going to do a feature together. So when you hear a smash hit with Craig Lucas and Amanda Black.
I'd be so honored. Wow.
Then... You must know that I was behind that. And hopefully I'm going to have you guys. And it's going to be the biggest song in South Africa at that particular point in time. And we're going to be going to those award shows and collecting all those awards. Yeah. So now, Craig Lucas, you very much...
Do we need to thank you in the speech?
Yeah, please. Or... better yet. I saw with one of the guys that with the Summers... that went up to stage to collect the award. It was like an entourage of a lot of so when they call you guys to the stage, I'm gonna be one of those guys that walk with you to stage to collect the award. So now you've gained a lot of traction in terms of people that follow you and want to know about your life and basically music. So you're very much a leader in your own rights. And Amanda Black, AmaZulu, the album is just smashing a lot of records. You've gotten a lot of accolades. When someone says Amanda Black, everyone knows who we're talking about. As leaders of South Africa and the future of the music of South Africa now, we're going to change the dynamic of the conversation just a little bit. What key leadership principle do you live by, Amanda Black and Craig Lucas, and let's start it from there. When you go about doing anything really in your life, what's that leadership principle that you hold on to and like, you know what, this is my principle?
One of the biggest, which is obviously you have a lot.
Okay.
One of the biggest one, I guess it's even an advice that I give to people for whatever. You must be yourself.
Okay.
That's, people overlook it as like, you're being deep. It's the most important thing for anything, to know who you are. Especially for us in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be swayed. Like he said, there's a lot of influences all around. And if you don't know who you are, you're going to be swayed in every direction possible. So one thing in anything that you do, singing, whatever craft, whatever thing, whatever industry that you're in, and whatever thing that you want to do, make sure that you know yourself, and you know yourself, and you trust your instincts. Intuition is very important.
Craig?
Yeah. You stole mine.
Come on!
No, just supporting what she said. Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, there's a space for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a space for you to be yourself. And if you look at everybody who's made it, they're not trying to be like anybody else. And it took me a long time to get to the place where because I tried to sing differently to the way I naturally sing, because I thought I sounded weird. I really did. I'm like, nobody sings. Like, no, I don't know. It sounds like this. It sounds weird. And it took me a long time to get to appreciate that being different is amazing. It's like that's what you want to be. There's so many people trying to be like other people. You don't have to do that. And once you truly accept who you are and start to love who you are, like you just become a better version of yourself continuously. You evolve. And that's how you, and even if you don't make it to where you want, you'd be so happy with who you are that you'd be satisfied with whatever you've got, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just this hunger driving you to always want more, always want more, always want more, and never really being satisfied. That comes from not truly being satisfied with who you are at the core.
Yeah.
So
you guys have grinded and have learned a lot of things coming to the various points in your careers and the various points in your lives that you are. And you must have learned a very, very important lessons along the way. And particularly in music, what has been individually your biggest lesson to date? And we'll start with Amanda.
That time I'm thinking. Oh my God. Okay, one thing that just came to mind is one of the things that I always tell myself as well, to never give up. It's simple, really. I don't know. I have incredibly big dreams. Like,
okay.
I dream bigger than what's like physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when you look at the world, you're like, nah, it's not possible. I dream like over and above it. So that has to be one of the biggest things I've always had to tell myself. And people who obviously want the best for me would be like, don't give up. Yeah.
Craig?
I think for me, musically, the biggest thing is just not being afraid to make mistakes or look silly. Like, I'd be so scared of getting on stage and trying something new out of fear that I'm going to look like an idiot or sound like an idiot. And in that, I've missed out on so many opportunities and so many chances to grow. I mean, on the show, there was one song where I'm a terrible dancer. And I tried to dance and it failed miserably. But, yo, guys, that was bad. The dancers were going one way and I was going the other way. And all I had to do was, like, 1-2 step. And I failed. But that just made me want to learn to dance and be better at that. So yeah, just not being afraid to fail at things as well, because you're not going to grow if you're not going to try new things. And if you're going to try new things, you're bound to to fail a couple of times.
What do you do with the failure? What is failure? I think we talk about this very loosely, and we rarely define what the word means. And I'm sure it means different things to different people as much as success does. What would you define failure as?
I think failure is, it's just like, and in this sense, it also, like, it's such a waste, because you do something and you expect a certain outcome, and if it's not that outcome, you think you failed. Even if the outcome, it could lead to something better, but it's not what you wanted, and so you think you failed at it. So it's such a self-imposing word, and it's like, I had such a big fear of failing, it's held me back for very long.
So you can never really, really fail.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You always learn. Amanda?
And I guess even there's different standards, and which also hits on the fact that, on the point that we were saying, that be yourself and set your own standards and live by your own rules. Because now if you're going to be looking at that other person's or idea of failure, you're going to fail a lot. So if you set your own goals, like, this is what I want to get to. When I get there, I'm going to go past it. So that's why I say, when you try something and you kind of don't achieve what you expected, and you never get in life, you never get what you expect. You'll get something, but not what you had in mind. You know, the 100%. Exact same way, the exact same time. So we kind of do that to ourselves. We're like, I failed.
Yeah.
Not, okay, no, I'm going to try again. It's going to be better than this one. Maybe this is what's going to lead me to that. But the mind is very powerful, and that's why the mindset is very important. So if you set your mindset and be like, no, it's like this, I'm going to get to there. But okay, there's the hurdles. Okay,
yes.
I used to be an athlete. So there's hurdles, right? So if you bump one hurdle, obviously you cannot get disqualified.
Yeah.
But in life, if you bump one hurdle, there's still like more hurdles in the front. So kind of try to jump over those ones, even if this one fell.
Yeah. And the more hurdles you try out and try and outdo, it's the more you learn.
Definitely.
By the time people start facing those challenges, you're already past that.
You're like, oh, that hurdle.
To the side.
It's gone.
Craig, when can we expect a single or even an album from you?
A single very soon. Very, very soon. And an album as soon as I can.
Okay.
All I'm going to do now is make music, because I quit my job a couple of weeks back. So I've got nothing to do but make music now.
Yeah, okay.
So, very soon.
Jeez. You're riding the wave, but you must be back in the studio.
It's all about music. Never left. Every chance I get, I've even created like a home studio for myself. So every chance I get, I'm just there. This one, idea. You know, so the trick is to never stop. You never stop making music. If you're a music person, if you're a person that loves making music, you don't stop making music. Like, I've got like millions of voice notes. Okay, not millions, because they don't fit. But I've got like a lot of voice notes on my phone.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
constantly having ideas, and just I'm a music person, man.
Yeah.
I'm a musician, so I'm always making music. But don't ask me when you expect the next album.
Oh, okay. Well,
something is gonna come. Like he said, all we want to do is make music.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing.
Undiphethe kahle uDali resonates with a lot of people. It's become a trend. Like, they're like, yeah, you're seeing me gaining weight, it's because
I'm happy.
I'm glowing. Yes. What was the inspiration behind the song?
Oh, man. This song is it's one of the happiest songs on the album. Because, it's just generally, for me personally, it's accept who you are, the way you are. I know people, it's very practical as well. It's very, like, you know, literal.
Yeah.
That I'm fat and I'm happy, you know. Or I've been in a relationship where I gained weight, you know, and after that I realized that I gained weight because I was so happy I didn't notice. So after the relationship ended and I was like, I'm heartbroken and I'm fat, you know. So I realized that when you're in the relationship, you know, I was happy and I gained weight. But also, I also expand on that and say that you accept who you are. If you feel like you're fat and you wanna lose weight, lose weight.
Yeah.
Don't be, I'm so fat, and then you're gonna be down on yourself. I'm ugly. You know, I'm fat and I'm unattractive. Do something about it. If you like the way you are, you like the way you are. Love yourself. You know, I always preach this. Love yourself. So if you look at yourself, look in the mirror, and pinpoint the things about yourself that you love more than you pinpoint the things that you hate. So the song is it's fun, but at the same time, it's that depth. Okay, the part where you actually, if you love yourself, I've gained weight, you know, in the past year,
yeah.
And I'm just like, I love myself.
You're
so
happy.
You know, hey, I need to get back to the gym though, because, you know. But, you know, it's with you.
Yeah.
If you like the way you are, the way you are right then, you better love it. You better love it. And whether everybody else is saying you must go lose weight, Amanda, I'm just like, ish, bruh, I'm happy, man.
Craig, your final words. We're going to have to round everything up because of time. Final words to the youth of South Africa that have watched your journey and are very inspired with what you've achieved to this point.
It's probably going to be cheesy, but like, I've never expected this to happen. Things like this don't happen to kids where I live. I mean, like, they just don't. And then I think this just ignited a fire in my community. To know that it is possible. Like, it's not all doom and gloom, you know. Mm. Like, it really is possible. This took me by storm, and I'm sure it has them as well.
What are your social media handles for people who want to keep in touch?
Yeah, so it's Craig Lucas on Facebook, okay. And then at Craigie Cracks on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, sorry, and at Craig D. Lucas on Instagram.
Awesome. Amanda?
That was funny.
Every time.
Mine is Amanda Black SA on Twitter and Instagram, and then Amanda Black on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Simple, Craig. Guys, it's
I made that when I was like 12, guys. I'm stuck with it for life.
It's been a pleasure having you guys today. I wish we could have the conversation even longer than we did. But there's quite a lot of things that we've learned from you guys. And thanks for coming through to studio and being with us today. And all the best with everything that you're going to be doing. And we'll be watching and supporting you, coming to your concerts, buy your music. So make sure that you put out more music. It's YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. From the Youth Leadership Platform on cliffcentral.com, we are out for today. Catch us next week, Monday at 2 p.m. From myself, Bongani Tau, Craig Lucas, the winner of The Voice SA Season 2, and Amanda Black of AmaZulu, we out. Peace.
This is cliffcentral.com.